when we share our testimonies of coming to know Christ, of coming to encounter his church and become united with his church, we sort of do a personal Lord Lyle Lunatic Trilemma. We say, hey, I might be crazy, right? That's always, when you're giving your account, that's always implied. I might be crazy, right? I might be lying to you, right? That's always a possibility as well when I'm sharing my testimony. But here's what happened to me. Welcome back to Deep in Christ. I'm your host, John Mark Grodi, here at the Coming Home Network International. Today, I wanted to take a little time to reflect with you on our relationship to truth, our relationship to information. Here at the Coming Home Network, you know, we're helping people become Catholic, and so we deal, a lot of people's journeys deal a lot with information, right? They're learning about the church, they're revisiting their own beliefs, they're reading apologetics, they're reading articles, they're digging into the early church fathers. And so, obviously, information is important, truth is important, studying, learning is a big part of this whole process. But I want to think a little bit with you today about our relationship to information. In some sense, there's two axes we want to think about here. You know, there's the axis of truth, you know, the content of what we believe, and we want to get that right, you know, and we, part of any journey in life, any conversion is realizing, well, I had one idea or one set of ideas, and I realized either they were wrong or they were perhaps incomplete or they were outside of the context of the whole, the big picture. So there's the what, the content of our belief, but there's also how we believe it. And I think in some sense, how we believe is as important as what we believe, because how we believe, how we regard the truth, how we approach it, our attitude toward truth, that is going to condition whether or not we're open to learning, whether or not we're open to the Holy Spirit changing our minds. And we know that our minds and our hearts have to be changed as part of our walk with Christ. And so I wanted to think about that a little bit with you today. Let's start with a scripture verse, very familiar one to all of us, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this will be sort of the context for the whole discussion here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Familiar verse to all of us there. What's interesting about this verse, right? We have trust in the Lord comes before our understanding and even this caution not to lean on our own understanding. Leaning too much on our own understanding, I think, is one of the dangers that we get into when we're not kind of cognizant of both those axes, the what of our belief, but also our attitude toward belief, towards truth, towards knowledge, towards information, and even towards the activity of gaining knowledge, of studying, right? So, you know, to begin with today, thinking about this topic, one of the questions I just want to pose, you know, for us to think about is this question of, you know, can I believe things that are true, but believe them in the wrong way or for the wrong reasons, right? Think about that for a moment. Can I believe things that are true, but my mode of believing them, my way of approaching them, my reasons for holding on to them are wrong? I think we see this many places in life. I mean, we could start with something like any discussion of cognitive biases, right? When we know that there are ways that people hold on to beliefs that may be true, they may hold on to information that may be true, but their reason for holding on to it is some reason other than the truth, right? And here at the Coming Home Network, we propose to you, you know, as a network, that the Catholic Church is true and you should become Catholic because it's true. But we don't want you to accept it for any other reason than that, because it's true. And so we want you to come to the conviction that it's true. We want to help you with that. But the reason for believing something is that you believe it's true. Are there other reasons for believing something, choosing to believe something? Well, certainly we have those all the time, right? There are all sorts of reasons we hold on to a particular belief, whether it's true or false, whether we care about that or not, other than it being true. You know, sometimes we're afraid to ask the question of whether our beliefs are really true, because our beliefs, the reason we hold on to them is because they make us comfortable, right? They're the comfort zone that we've been living in. And so we want to hold on to them and we want to find reasons to reinforce them. And when we are in discussion with ourselves in our thoughts or with God or with other people about what is true, we're very careful. We're not really open to the truth. We're not really having a discussion. We're simply holding on to and reinforcing what we already believe, what we already want to be true. It's interesting to think about the ways that we can make an idol out of our own understanding. Again, going back to that verse there from Proverbs, God is truth. God's truth is the truth. All truth is God's. We have to recognize that when I'm thinking of truth, when I'm thinking of my beliefs, my, you know, what I believe about my faith, about the world, about reality, I always have to keep in mind that there's a distinction to be made between truth that is out there, reality, things as they are, and my particular image of them, right? There's a difference between what's in here and what's out there. Now, this, we want this to correspond with that. That's why we learn. That's why we adjust. But we have to recognize that this is always going to be smaller than that, right? My idea of reality is always going to be much smaller than reality. My idea of who I am is going to always be a much smaller, incomplete picture than the reality of who I am. My image, especially of God, is always going to be smaller than the reality of who God actually is. So we can see there from, you know, there's going to always be a little bit of a danger in life that as soon as we come to a greater understanding of the world, of things out there, of other people, of my faith, of myself, of who God is, of who Christ is, that our temptation, there's going to be always a temptation there to want to then clamp down on this particular understanding and not be open to it being improved upon, to my image of God being improved upon. I think there's always a danger there, right? We're going to get comfortable. We're going to hold on to this idea. I think, you know, there's a term, you know, fundamentalism, that gets applied negatively to different groups of people in the world. And again, not picking on any particular group, I think if we were to take that step back from that and think of it as a concept, we think, well, what is a fundamentalist in the negative sense? Again, not applying this to any particular group, but what is a fundamentalist in this negative sense? Well, it's a person who has grabbed onto a particular piece of truth, and it's probably, there's some truth to it, but they're holding onto that piece and excluding all else. They're holding to these fundamentals, and they won't let those come into conversation with the much bigger picture of truth that exists. Also think about, you know, the term heresy. Again, not applying a particular term to any particular person here. We're just thinking here in theory. Throughout the history of the church, heresy has always tended to be not something that is completely false, but something that is a small truth that's pulled out of the context of the whole and perhaps expanded to the size of the whole, right? Some particular truth about who Christ is, about who God is, about his revelation, about the nature of grace and the interaction with man's free will, or, and, you know, pick any heresy throughout the ages of the church. It's taking one aspect of reality, one aspect of our Christian truth, our understanding of the universe, but it's usually then leaving out everything else, or it's making that one piece as big as the whole. So there's, again, we always have to be mindful and careful that our own ideas, our own perception of the truth doesn't become an idol, right? We want to know God as he is and not limit him to our particular current picture of him. So there's, I think, again, going back to the original question, I think it is possible for us to believe things that are true, but believe them in wrong ways and for the wrong reasons. I mean, other examples here, like we know all the time, we see this on the internet all the time, right? You know, that modern blessing and curse of the internet. We see people all the time who hold and double down on certain beliefs and ideas precisely because they're holding on to their particular image of themselves, their particular image of those they see as the other side or the enemy, and they're holding on to or rejecting certain ideas becomes completely a matter of that personal battle of ego, and completely divorced from this question of what's really true, right? We know how difficult it is in any conversation, in any argument, to say, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that right now. I'll have to get back to you. But the reality is that most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves or we're honest with the people that we're talking with, we don't have the answer or we don't have the full answer, or we have this temptation to speak with a confidence, with an absolutism that just does not fit with the actual knowledge that we have. We operate oftentimes out of ego and pride when we're talking with other people and we're thinking about, what do I really know? What do I really believe? Now, again, none of this is to make us skeptics, is to make us doubt our beliefs and truth, but it's about holding our beliefs, holding our knowledge in a hand of humility, right? There's this classic line from Shakespeare that Dr. Peter Kraft likes to quote. He calls it the Hamlet principle. And it's when Hamlet says to, I think, Horatio, you know, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than you've dreamt of in all your philosophy. And I love the formulation there, right? As a proper attitude towards truth. Your attitudes towards the truth and mine should always be one, there's more in heaven and earth. There's more in reality. There's more in the truth than you or I have dreamt of. In all of our philosophy, in all of our theology, in all of our studying and learning, there's always more. We should expect more. When we approach God, we should always have this expectation that God is not less than I know about him. You know, the reality of God is not something smaller than my idea of him. It's always going to be bigger. It's always going to be greater. I should always approach in this posture of learning, in this posture of humility, in this posture of, Lord, I want to know you as you are. And if that means that you need to tinker with my ideas, that you need to give me new information, if you need to give me new experiences in my life that expand, that help me to understand more, the bigger picture, the more full, rich reality of who you are, then that's what I want, right? The opposite of that Hamlet principle, right, would be, again, to always assume that there's less in heaven and earth than I have dreamt of. I think we see this both amongst secular atheist type people sometimes, but we see this about among believers all the time as well. We see this in ourselves, right? This assumption that the way things really are is simpler. Like, I've got it figured out. The way things really are, it's a simple matter, but it's just not the case. And it's especially not the case with God, right? There are some things that we can come to know pretty thoroughly. We can come to know mathematical and logical truths, because they're self-evident, you know, because they're logically intuitive. 2 + 2 must equal 4. We can't imagine a universe without that, right? We can come to know with relative, you know, some degree of probability, of certainty about, you know, facts and figures in this world. We can come to know scientific regularities. We can come to know, you know, facts. We can come to know something about history, all those things. But there's a lot of uncertainty. When we come to know other people, we recognize that there's a fundamental uncertainty about another person. If you gave me a dossier full of information, full of facts about a person in your life, I could read that. I could get to know about them. But to really know that person, well, that's a whole different matter. I'd have to get to know them. I'd have to form a relationship with them. And even then, I'd never be done. Like, I'd never have them figured out so that I can now set them on the shelf. I have that person figured out. Well, all the more so with God. Now, the big difference with God, right, is that we do have revelation, that we can't exhaust the mystery of God. We can't figure a lot about him on our own, other than general things from, you know, logically looking at our experience, looking at our universe. But God can come down to meet man, and he has in his revelation, throughout salvation history, the ways he's interacted with his people, and then, of course, preeminently in the person of Jesus Christ, you know, God becoming man and meeting us and preaching to us and telling us, and then also inspiring, you know, the writers of Scripture and inspiring his church to guard and, you know, unpack truth throughout the ages. And so we do have, again, in our faith, you know, in the church, we have good theology, we have good doctrine, we have good information about God because it comes from God. But even then, we have to be mindful of our attitude towards the truth. I can read it all, there in the catechism. I can read the Bible. But I have to keep in mind that there's a distinction between that truth and my particular understanding of it, my particular nuance, my particular baggage, my particular emphases, the parts of it that I like, the parts of it that make me feel comfortable, that make me feel confident, make me feel like I've got it all together, and the parts of it that are challenging, that maybe I'm not quite sure about, that maybe vindicate people that I don't agree with very well. All this comes back to this reality that the what we believe is very important, right? We want to believe what is true. We want to believe it because it's true. And so all of our lives are a journey of learning and understanding and refining. But how we believe it is very important as well, because if we believe it wrongly, if we believe it from a place of pride, if we believe it out of fear, we believe it out of arrogance or vanity, if we hold on to our beliefs for some other reason, perhaps some other selfish reason other than that they're true, then, well, a number of things happen. First of all, you know, if we do that, if we believe perhaps some of the right things, but with a wrong attitude for the wrong reason, right? Well, partly what that produces is in us and other people, right? It produces people who are hypocrites, right? People who believe, they may believe what is right. They may believe propositionally X, Y, and Z, and those things might be correct. But if their relationship to that truth, again, is one of pride, is one of, you know, sticking it to the other people who don't get it, well, those people aren't going to live out the truth. You know, they're going to be hearers of the world, yes, and acceptors of the word, yes, but not doers, right? The person with the right attitude towards truth comes to faith in God, receives the truth, chooses to believe in it, and then acts upon it, right? We have this right relationship to the truth. We want to accept it. We want to accept all of its implications for us. The other effect of believing wrongly, you know, or having this wrong relationship to information, is that we are unable to grow and learn more, right? If it's just a truth of our existence that my image of the truth in my head is always smaller than the whole, well, then I have to always, there's always going to be more to learn. There's always going to be refining to go on. But my relationship with that truth, with that information, determines whether or not I'm going to be open to more. And so we can come to believe true things about God that he's revealed. But if then we let our attitude towards that information become an idol, then we cut off grace there. We cut ourselves off from the continuing conversion that God wants to have in our lives, the unpacking of that truth and its implications. You can believe something today, you can come to believe it, but it's going to be your whole life letting that unfold and unpack for what it means for your life. And so we have to always maintain this posture of humility and openness to God, even as we hold on to the truth that he's given us. Another thing is that if we have the wrong attitude towards truth, not only will we not learn more, but even what we have, again, in the end, we'll lose it if we have this wrong attitude toward it. Because again, it's going to unpack over time. We're supposed to go deeper into it. We're supposed to be more and more open to putting into practice what we've received, what we've been taught. And that necessitates this hand of humility, holding it deftly, being open to learning more. So some takeaways from this, just for us to think about in terms of our own relationship with the truth, how we regard it, how we pursue it, but then also how we engage with other people on these questions of truth. What is true about God? What is true about his church? What is true about the universe? How do we interact with people? Well, first of all, again, we see, I think, in this topic, this interplay between like our moral and our intellectual life. Right? Sometimes we think of those as distinct, like over here, I have the things that I believe, and over here is the question of whether or not I'm a good person, whether or not I'm prudent and just and courageous and temperate, whether I have faith and hope and charity. Sometimes we almost think as if those two lives are separate, but we're one being, right? We're body and soul as humans, and there's not two sides of our lives. Those things are intimately intertwined. Our ability to know is conditioned by our heart, our character. And so if we want to be people with a right relationship to truth, if we want to receive the truth, if we want to walk in the truth, and if we want to continue walking into the truth as God continues to lead us into it, then we have to make sure that we are attending to our moral life, that we are pursuing the righteousness he's called us to at the same time as we are learning. And this is, again, I think especially important for an apostle like the Coming Home Network for us to reflect on as a community, because we're dealing with people on journeys, right? And people from different backgrounds who have come to different conclusions, and they're all in a state of flux. I'm a Catholic, pretty much a lifelong Catholic. My father was a Presbyterian minister, and he converted and brought our family in when I was young, and he's been helping people ever since. And now I and the next generation of the team here at the Coming Home Network are helping others who, again, are coming from all different backgrounds, considering this question, is the Catholic Church true? And we're trying to help them, right? We're not trying to convince them, we're not trying to get them to become Catholic just because we want them to. We're trying to get them to see and come to their own conviction that the Catholic Church is true, and that's why we want them to become Catholic. But this question, again, of as we're in that process, as we're on that journey, and again, I, as a Catholic, that journey's not over, right? It's just, you know, that's going to continue for me for the rest of my life, just like it's going to continue for you. As we go through that journey, as we continue to learn, we have to be, again, we have to be converting, right? We have to be walking in imitation of Christ, allowing him to transform us. We have to be good so that we can continue to know better, right? So I talk a lot about the virtues on this show, because the virtues give us a good framework for looking at what does it mean to imitate Christ? What does it mean to be transformed into his image? What does it look like to become excellent as human beings in the ways that he intended us to? We have to be pursuing virtue as at the same time as we are learning. One is not a replacement for the other. We can't just learn our way into heaven. We can't learn our way into the imitation of Christ. We have to be believers of the word, hearers, but doers also. And so as we're learning, we have to continue to be deep in prayer. We have to continue to work on getting sin out of our life, repenting, you know, of the mistakes that we make, and also seeking healing for the wounds that those mistakes have caused. You know, we have to be healing. We have to be imitating Christ. And at the same time as we're learning. So then secondly, in terms of a takeaway, so we have to be pursuing righteousness. We have to continue to convert, to be converted into the image and likeness of Christ as we continue to learn. In terms of our learning, we have to do our learning well. I've talked about it before on this show, but the medievals had terms for vicious and virtuous study, right? Which is kind of an odd thought. We tend to think that any study, any learning, any making yourself informed must be an unqualified good, but they didn't think so, right? They would talk about studiositas or studious learning, virtuous learning, and curiositas, this vicious mere indulging of your curiosity, right? And we think about curiosity a little different nowadays, but they use those two terms to talk about the two different approaches, two different ways that we respond to our desire to learn. And one of them, which I think we all experience in this information age, is this desire to learn about all kinds of stuff that we can do nothing about, that's none of our business, that just makes us angry or sad or disturbed, you know, or tickled. We have the temptation all the time to use the information technology, the new media, to be informed about all sorts of things that don't help us follow Christ any better. They have nothing to do with our particular vocation, the mission he's called to us in life. They have nothing to do with this obligation that we have to continue to walk in imitation of Christ today. We're not being edified by the information, but we pursue it because somehow it tickles our fancy, you know, or maybe it distracts us from our pain. I think that's more often than not, that's the reason. You know, we have anxiety, we have worry, we have care, we are stressed out, we're unfulfilled in some way. And rather than turning to God, rather than turning to Christ, bringing that to him and seeking his healing, we turn to distraction. And we have lots of opportunity for distraction in the modern world with the modern media and information. So we have to pursue study in a virtuous way, right? We need to be bring our study, our potential study to God? What should I be learning about? What are you calling me to learn about next? What will help me to be a better disciple of Jesus Christ? We need to be open to that, and then we need to pursue it in a virtuous way. We need to pursue righteousness. We need to learn and study virtuously, in the context of our walking with Jesus Christ. We can't let that crowd out our more important responsibilities of prayer, of repenting of sin, of walking with Christ, of walking, as my good colleague Kenny Burchard shared earlier this year. We need to walk with whatever light we've been given. We should pursue additional light if that's the next step for us. We should be open to God giving us more light, to showing us more, to learning more, to studying more. But today we have to make sure that we're not neglecting to not neglecting to walk with the light that He has been given. If we walk with the light that God has given us, the truth that He has shown us now, if we're very faithful to that, He will open us up to more. And finally, when we share our faith with others, when we want to share the truth with others, when we're in conversation, when we're in dialogue, we have to recognize too that we want to share the truth with other people, but just as it's so vitally important that we have a right relationship to truth, we have to make sure that we are trying to form in others through our dialogue, through our interaction with them, a right relationship to truth in them. Right? Think of how often nowadays in our political propaganda, in our advertising, and all the ways that information comes to us, that precisely the opposite is occurring. That people are trying to set up in you, in me, and the people around us, a bad relationship with truth. They want you to believe, they want you to be convicted and angry about something, not because it's true, kind of regardless of whether it's true, but for some other reason, because it's politically expedient, because it's practical, because it owns the other team that we're against. And so we have to make sure that we don't fall into that ourselves. And the temptation always is, well, because I have the truth, I must be the good guy, so I can't do that. No, we all can fall into that. When I'm talking to a person, I'm sharing my faith with them, when I'm dialoguing with them, when I'm discussing with them, I have to be trying to encourage in both of us through our good conversation a right relationship to truth. I should be practicing and emulating for them humility. I should be able to say, as I mentioned at the beginning, right, that those difficult words, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that right now. I'm going to research that and get back to you. We should normalize saying that. If we do that, we will show a good example to other people that they'll hopefully follow in that as well. We need to be encouraging people to seek the truth. We need to give them some space and some freedom to do that, right? This is how God works with us. You know, His grace builds on our nature. He doesn't want to overwhelm us. He doesn't want to override our free will. He wants to lead us into coming to believe the truth because it's true, and then to make a free choice to love Him, to join His church, to be a member of the body of Christ, to imitate Him, to pursue the holiness that He's created us for. He works through our freedom. That's how God works. That's how we need to work with one another. So when we share the truth, we have to resist the temptation to fall towards easy emotional appeal, any other kinds of manipulative tactics of trying to get somebody to believe the truth for some other reason than that they have come in their freedom, in their inquiry, to believe that it's true. I think that conversion stories, one of the reasons that we value them so much in the Coming Home Network is that they're a powerful way of doing this. They allow us to share what we've experienced in a way that invites the other person to consider, well, could this be true? You know, a classic apologetic argument for Christ I think Lewis popularized this, is this Lord, liar, lunatic trilemma. That, you know, either Jesus was a liar, or he was a crazy person, or he's Lord. It's got to be one of those three. You know, he couldn't just be a nice prophet, you know, a nice teacher from Nazareth. He has to be one of those three things. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense of the accounts that we have of people's experiences of him. He must be a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Well, so too, when we share our testimonies, of coming to know Christ, of coming to encounter his church and become united with his church, we sort of do a personal Lord Lyle lunatic trilemma. We say, hey, I might be crazy, right? That's always, when you're giving your account, that's always implied. I might be crazy, right? I might be lying to you, right? That's always a possibility as well when I'm sharing my testimony. But here's what happened to me. This is what happened when I came to know the Lord Jesus, when I began to read scripture. This is what happened when I gave my life to him, when I repented of my sin. This is what happened when I started reading the early church fathers and I started looking more into church history and realizing, oh, I think there's more that Christ wants to give me. This is what happened to me when I considered the possibility. Maybe the Catholic Church is true. Maybe I need to become Catholic. And this is what happened to me when I did so. This is what I found in the church. Here's the beauty and the goodness that I found. Here's the helps, the riches of not just doctrine, but also devotion and praxis in the church that I found that have helped me to become a better follower of Jesus Christ, that have helped me along that path to holiness that he's called me to. This is what's happened to me. I think conversion stories, testimonies are so important because they allow you to share the truth, but they also contextualize it in this reality that, hey, this is what I experienced, and my experience is not the whole, but it invites you to consider your own experience and to approach truth freely. I think conversion stories are very powerful for that way of sharing the truth. In any case, again, as we engage with other people, as we share our faith, we have to keep in mind that it's not just the what we believe, it's also believing it rightly so that when we're relating with other people, we're not bringing our ego into it. We're simply sharing what the Lord has given to us. And we're encouraging, inviting them to approach the truth with this right heart. Because if we have a right heart, then Christ can keep leading us forward into greater and greater truth, greater glory, more of the life that he wants to give us. So continue to pursue the truth, but keep a right relationship with truth. So I want to remind you, as always, that's all I have for today. But as always, this is a production of the Coming Home Network International. We are a network of converts to the Catholic Church, and we'd like to help you on your journey of discovering the truth and beauty of the Catholic Church. We think it's true. We want to help you discover that and make that come to that conclusion yourself. We have stories to share with you. We can tell you all about the different ways that Christ led us to the Catholic Church. We've got a newsletter. We've got an online community, all sorts of resources for you at chnetwork.org. We've also got members of our team that would love to talk to you, hear your story, and share their story with you. So contact us there. Again, this is Deep in Christ. I'm John Mark Grody. Talk to you again next week. God bless.